Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2017. I'm Steve McIntosh. Our guest is Eric Kale, director of the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. Welcome to Issues 2017.
Thank you, Steve. Glad to be here.
Here's a big question for you. I'll start off with a big one here. Why is history important, Eric?
Well, it illuminates the path forward in a lot of ways. What is old is really not. It's just human experience.
It's making the same mistakes over and over again.
Huh? It can be.
You know, and I sometimes get a little discouraged about the interest in history among younger people today. I've got 7 grandchildren, and I don't know that any of them have the bug. I don't perceive that there's much knowledge of history among many of our politicians. Is there a problem in our schools, Eric? And this is very philosophical, but what do you think?
Oh, you know, I think that when people are confronted with it in a compelling way, like in a museum, you know, it can be really engaging, and it's just getting there. There are so many things vying for people's attention these days that going to the local history museum is not top of mind.
All right. Well, we'll remind them today. How long have you been the director of the museum?
Well, I started in 2007, so it'll be my 10th year this year, but I've been involved with the museum really got interested as a school kid going on a school tour from Hyde Elementary.
So you're a Wichitan then?
Yeah.
Okay. So which building was that in? What museum was that then?
Well, we've had three what were considered permanent locations through the years. Our first one was at the old Forum Building, which was a sort of the civic auditorium.
Would have been just south of where the library is now,
yes,
or pretty close to that?
Yeah, kind of functioned as Century 2, roughly about in that same location.
Yeah. So then you finally wound up, though, at the place you are now. The building there is historic, the building itself, and it's a corner of Main and English?
Main and William Street.
Okay.
Right across from the library and not so far from Century 2. It's the old City Hall building. It's the first City Hall building Wichita had. It was built in 1890 and served until about 1975.
Yeah, that is an interesting building in itself. And you actually have an elevator in there, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We have all 4 floors with exhibits and a large elevator and stairs, of course. So it's very easily accessible.
You know, when I brought my grandchildren down there, they were fascinated by the elevator. And in the old days, I know there was an operator in there. When that was City Hall, back in the, well, clear back into the early, in the 60s and 70s, there was somebody who actually operated that elevator.
Yeah, I've been told that. And occasionally when we have big public events like the Wichita Birthday Party or Sedgwick County Day, different ice cream social and so forth, we often have an elevator operator in there just for old time's sake.
You know, and the building, the tower, now I'm sharing a little more history. I think it was in the 80s. Yeah, it was in the 80s. I can't remember the exact date, but lightning struck that tower, and I was actually went in on radio and covered the flames that were coming out of the top of it. It was like a giant torch.
Yeah. You know,
they've rebuilt it since, though.
Yeah. You know, the museum had just opened. We had been open only a few months in a new location there. We had moved from College Hill, where we were in the old Beachy family home on Douglas. But we had just opened there, and lightning struck the tower and lit it up like a candle. Fire department had it out within about 5 minutes, thankfully, before it burned through the building.
That building, that one and the Davis administration out of Friends University probably built...
Bird, and you know, the Friends University opened briefly. You know, it was originally designed as the Garfield University.
Garfield, yeah.
Named after President Garfield. And then... closed and has operated, you know, many, many years as Friends University.
How many visitors do you entertain a year at the Historical Museum?
Well, we're up. In the past 10 years, we felt underutilized, so we've really made an effort to try to get people over to our museum, and we've gone in 10 years from about 8,000 a year to last year was about 17,000.
Well, that's... pretty good.
Yeah.
more than double.
We would like to see more people, and it's not an expensive museum to visit, and we have a number of free days and free events, too, that families take advantage of.
Eric, where do your visitors come from? They're not just Sedgwick County, I'm sure.
Right. They come from all around the world. Of course, tourists who find themselves in Wichita are attracted to us because they want to know a little bit about where they are out here in Kansas, and they learn a lot about local history there. A lot of people from outside of the country, Europe and Asia especially, we get many tourists, and they're always very impressed. But we also, I mean, we're here for the local population, you know, just to learn about ourselves, and we get people in almost on a daily basis who tell us, gosh, I've lived here my whole life. I had no idea this was here.
Well, and what do visitors say about the museum after they go through there for the first time?
It's it is overwhelmingly positive. They are, I think our detractor is that we have no parking that is designated. So you're on your own. Bring some quarters. There are meters all around downtown. So it's not too hard to find a place.
Now, do you get many school kids on field trips? And are they lumped into that 17,000?
Yeah, they're included.
Okay.
Last year we had, gosh, I should know this number, but I think between 2,000 and 3,000 school kids. If we had more like 5,000 a year, we could be sort of assured that every kid visited the museum. You know, during the course of their school career.
Yeah.
So we're trying to improve that.
Well, and public school population's about to 50,000 and then probably another 10 or more in private. So,
yeah. It's split pretty evenly. Yeah. We get homeschool, parochial schools, public schools, everything.
What is the most popular permanent exhibit you have there?
Well, you know, as far as really the long-term core exhibits, we have two. One that handles our history, where we kind of pick up the local story at the time of settlement, right after the Civil War. That's called Wichita, the Magic City, and it looks at our history and kind of a chronological trip through the first 50 years. And it's pretty amazing because we go from a prairie wilderness, really, to a... you know, the fastest growing city in the United States, and by the end of it in 1911, the dawn of the air age.
All right. And let's talk a little bit about the history of Wichita, the origins. How did this place become a settlement and then a city? Were we always on the Chisholm Trail, or did that come after we started the city?
Well, the Chisholm Trail really kind of originated concurrently with the formation, the early formation of the community here. Really, nothing was, in terms of settlement and expansion, was occurring here prior to the Civil War. But as soon as the Civil War ended in 1865, a treaty was signed over 61st and Seneca along the river, okay, with several tribes, and the agreement was that they would move to what was called Oklahoma Territory or Indian Territory. Uh-huh. And so they started making that trip, and at the same time the cattle were starting to be driven up from Texas. And Wichita was one of those stopping points. So that was kind of the beginning. But also, Kansas was really a destination after the Civil War as far as post-war migration. People were looking for new opportunities, and so they'd come to Kansas because it was rather a blank slate. And Wichita was the westernmost outpost right after the Civil War. And, you know, rather than to the south where Indian Territory was, or to the north, people were coming to Kansas. Lincoln himself said that he would come to Kansas if he were relocating. So it was a destination.
And, you know, and the great thing is you have two rivers confluence here, so you had water, which is, you had to have that for a settlement in this town.
Yeah, and it's kind of scarce out here, so it was... Yeah, it was a natural place. In fact, the Native Americans had been meeting here, camping here for, you know, millennia. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of a natural destination.
Well, who were some of those interesting early Wichita citizens? I know a few of them. Can you tell us here?
Oh, it's all interesting to me, so it's a little hard to pick them out. But one of the primary... I think figures in Wichita history was James R. Meade, mm-hmm, who was our frontier prairie guy. He was out here early on. He knew Jesse Chisholm, who established the Chisholm Trail and the trading route. He's also a very interesting character who lived here for a time and operated a trading post. Anyway, these are two guys, really adventurers, out in a wilderness, knowing the Native American population, being accepted by them somewhat, and it was Jesse Chisholm himself was also part Native American, so mm-hmm, he had really an entrance into this world.
I'm an Old West buff, so I know that Wyatt Earp worked here.
Yes,
and
All those figures that are prominent.
Billy the Kid lived here. Bat Masterson worked here.
Yeah. Billy the Kid actually grew up in Wichita. In fact, the joke is that they called him Billy the Little Kid when he was here. But he was written up in the paper, actually, even as a little kid, referred to, I think, as a street urchin.
Yeah.
And his mother was... the only woman to sign the incorporation papers for the city in 1870. They didn't live here long, mm-hmm, but they figured in prominently. Also, for example, Bat Masterson's parents are buried over in Highland Cemetery. Maple Grove Cemetery has a big marker.
Where is
there.
Where's that located? I got to go there.
That's over there at 9th and Hillside.
Now, okay. Near Wesley Medical Center.
Yeah. Between Wesley and WSU. And the old cemetery's on the west side of the street. That's Highland. And then later in 1888 came Maple Grove. It was kind of the well-planned Victorian cemetery, and that's on the east side. You'll find James R. Meade and there's an Earp family lot. I've never really researched the relationships to Wyatt, but quite a few interesting people. It's interesting study. They're outdoor museums, you might think.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm very interested in that. As I said, I'm a buff, and I'm reading a book right now about Dodge City, which, I don't know how many times I've read this. The Masterson's farm or ranch was located about 14 miles north of Wichita. I would love to know where that is. I'm sure there's no marker or anything up there. But somebody up there is living on the old Masterson homestead. They had, like, what, four or five boys, I think. right?
Yeah, it's fascinating when you get drilling down into the backstory, and that information's at hand, but it takes a little research sometimes.
When you get into the early industries, of course, the aircraft industry is so crucial to our growth and as a city. Were the people who started those industries, and I'm talking about Beach, Cessna, Lear, were those people all native Wichitans, or did they come here from somewhere else?
No, they were drawn here from other places. I know that Walter Beach came from around Nashville in Tennessee, and you know, almost every European descendant here was an immigrant, from some place. Natives started being born here in, you know, after the Civil War, 1860s, 1870s, but they're not a tremendous number of them. Most people came in from someplace.
Early businesses included, did we have an automobile manufacturer here at one point?
Yeah, actually, and we have, it was the Jones Auto Company. They operated around World War I, that period, about 100 years ago. They produced thousands of cars and trucks here in Wichita on North Broadway at a factory. And not many of those are left. I understand there are probably fewer than 10. And we have the only one on public exhibit up on the fourth floor.
Well, how about that? You're listening to Issues 2017 on the Entercom radio stations. And our guest is Eric Cale, director of the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum, located right in downtown Wichita. Eric, is the museum supported by tax dollars?
Yeah, we are. We receive about half of our support from split between Wichita and the county, Sedgwick County.
Yeah.
So, and that's as it's been for many years. In fact, our museum originated, really, you can think of it as originating in the county courthouse around the turn of the century. That's where the Pioneer Society and the old folks started setting up exhibits at the county courthouse, and we've kind of evolved from there.
You're talking about the county courthouse on North Main that's still there?
Yes, yeah.
The old one.
I think the cornerstone says 1888.
Okay.
And it's at Central and Main Street, just down the way from us.
Do people offer you items for display from time to time?
Well, we do have a collection of, you know, we've been collecting actively nonstop for 75 years now. So we have a collection.
Got a big basement somewhere.
Yes, we do. We actually have another building that we keep probably 80% of the museum's collection in. We utilize that collection for creating exhibits to tell these stories. But we have probably close to 100,000 artifacts in that collection.
Wow.
And we still actively collect, but we're very discerning. We take almost no wedding dresses anymore. We have I think 100 of them.
Well,
and you know, but so when we take something into the collection, we're an AAM accredited museum, so there are these practices that we follow where we catalog everything, and we plan to keep it forever and conserve it forever, so we have to be pretty careful. But it's interesting, some of the things that you know, work that we think will tell the story. We always ask ourselves, what will people in 100 years expect of us? So,
I've just got to share with you that I think you were there the day I brought my grandchildren down for the first time.
Yes.
Of course, they're all sub-teens, or they were at that time, and they were most fascinated with, number one, the telephone booth.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
who would have thought?
They've never seen a payphone.
Okay? Right. Yeah.
So fascinated by that, Eric.
Of a certain age, you just think, well, what's the big deal? But no, there's a whole generation out there unfamiliar with these things. So that has been wildly successful. Bring a dime with you, and you can make a call.
Really? Okay.
You can dial out if you can figure out how to work a dial.
Yeah, the dial phone there, the rotary dial. They were also fascinated with the manual typewriter.
Yes.
That looks like a computer, Papa, a little bit, you know.
I think that spurred a secondary market in used typewriters. We were all scrambling to get rid of them for a while there, but now they've taken on some value.
You know, if you even had an IBM Selectric down there with the old ball, that would be something the kids haven't seen.
They're fascinating now to look at them after using a computer for 25 years.
Well, so. The history of the computers have had a huge impact on our society. A lot of things have. Let's talk a little bit about coming attractions, some of the things you're going to be doing there over the next few months, Eric. What's coming up?
Well, right now we have a special exhibit, and we're kind of the opening location for this because it will travel. It was created by Symphony in the Flint Hills and Flint Hills Designs, and it is at the museum until May 2nd, and it's all about the Chisholm Trail and the Chisholm Trail sesquicentennial.
I can't say it either.
It's 150th anniversary.
There you go.
And it will inform you all about the origins, really, of the trail and what that meant to the development of Kansas, and also the creation of the iconic American cowboy really kind of came up there at that time, and that's all happened concurrently with the establishment of our cities here.
Yeah, so you go up the trail with the cattle from Texas, load them on a train to go back east to Chicago or whatever. You think about it from a standpoint of industrial development or business development, it was huge, a great a leap forward there.
Yeah, it is a tremendous thing. If it hadn't have happened, the world here would probably be much different.
Mm-hmm. How does a person become part of the museum? You have a membership, don't you?
Yeah. I think just by virtue of living here, you're part of
you're
it.
You're part of it already, huh?
Yeah, you go in there and you'll see things that you recognize and are relevant and learn things you didn't know about, the ground under your feet here locally. So, but we also are a membership organization. You know, the other half of our funding comes through the generosity of local donors and our museum memberships. We still maintain a card-carrying membership association that really all of our supporters stay in touch with us that way and help contribute to our funding. So we get a lot of community support. I think that's because we're kind of the community family album or something you might think of us as.
You have, I kind of interrupted you. You have another event or two you'd like to mention real quick here?
Oh, sure. We have quite a few. We have our ice cream social coming up.
That's a good one.
That's fun. That will be in May. But right now we have spring break programs for students. Okay. So I think show up and do that. We do that every time we have a school break in the summer, of course, and also in the winter. We have also, let's see, River Festival will be fun. We have a free day through River Festival and the Admiral's Armada. That'll be on Sunday the 4th. And we have a lot of the past admirals gathering there, and it's really, really fun. It's the same day they have the thing on Main Street, the STEAM thing for students. So, okay. When I say STEAM, I don't mean actual STEAM. It's an educational program put on by a lot of the local educational organizations. Okay. And we have the Carnegie Concert Series, mm-hmm. which will be in September. That's sponsored by Fidelity Bank and High Touch Technologies, and it's a free concert at lunchtimes every Wednesday through the month of September in Heritage Square. So that's
the Fidelity office is just north of you or south of you?
Yeah, north. just south. Yeah, in the old Carnegie Library.
Now, Eric, do you employ? Do you use volunteers?
Yes, in fact, I refer to them as our volunteer staff, and they number about 100 people, and they range from everyone from our 25-member board of directors to our WIMS organization, which is our fringe organization. And the WIMS put on the ice cream social, and right before Thanksgiving, the Wreath Festival. It's a luncheon that we've been doing for about 30 years there. And they do Senior Wednesdays. It's the third Wednesday of each. Oh no, pardon me. The fourth Wednesday of each month at the museum, and so we get a lot of support through volunteers.
Now, you're obviously totally up to date on everything, including, of course, you've got a website, correct?
Yes, we do have a website. It's a little historic at this point, but we're looking at redesigning that so it looks better on telephones now. So,
well, you're going to have about a year from now, we're going to have a big basketball tournament, and I'm hoping some of those folks who go to see the NCAA basketball tournament over at Intrust, some of them will come over and spend a little time over there with you at the museum. You think that'll happen?
Yeah, a lot of the hotels downtown are kind enough to share our information with their guests, and so when people find themselves killing a little time downtown, if they're not headed over to Old Town, they'll be going to see the museum or down the street to see the museums on the river, the Art Museum, Indian Center,
well,
Cowtown.
If you've never had the opportunity, you need to check out the museum located at Main and William in the historic building there. Come down and go down and take a look, because there are a lot of great things to see and, absorb some of the history of Wichita at the museum. And again, Eric, as always, thanks for spending a little time with us this morning talking about it, okay?
Thank you, Steve.
Our guest is Eric Kahle, director of the Wichita Sedgwick County Historical Museum. And again, that's located in downtown Wichita at Main and William. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2017. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Trained to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Trained to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.